Welcome inside the studio, Dave Spadaro, joined by my good buddy, former Eagle Pro Bowl linebacker, special teamer, currently on 94 WIP and the Eagles game plan show, Mr. Ike Reese. Ike, I did not think my wildest expectations, my wildest dreams, nightmares, that I'd be sitting here and the Eagles would be 3-5 at the midway point of the season.
That makes two of us, Dave. Yeah. I mean, coming into this season, high expectations, high hopes. You thought with the full offseason, with this collection of players, the talent that they have assembled here, no way they could have a repeat performance of what we saw in 2011 when they got off to that horrendous start and eventually led to an 8-8 season. But we know it wasn't really an 8-8 team. But here we are at the halfway point of the 2012 season, and they're 3-5. And what's different from this year and last year, even though it's a better record, this doesn't even feel like a 3-5 team.
Right.
We feel sort of fortunate to be 3-5 when you look at the three victories the Eagles have managed to get this year. But it's definitely been a disappointing year thus far.
I mean, you played here, obviously, great teams when you played here. Andy Reid has come back from deficits. When you look at Andy, what do you see that maybe is different than what you saw when you played with him?
As a coach, I don't really see a whole lot different. You know, I don't get to work with him day to day. So as a player, I don't really know if he's coaching on a day-to-day basis any differently. I do know that any head coach in this league will tell you that they're only as good as the supporting cast that they have. Mm-hmm. And that's not just the players. That's also his assistant coaches. And this is no knock on the guys that are here, but the assistant coaches that were on the staff during the time that I played here.
Who named those coaches?
We're talking about the late, great Jim Johnson. Just on the defensive side, Ron Rivera, who's a head coach. Steve Spagnuolo, who's been a head coach. Mm-hmm. John Harbaugh, who's a head coach and having a lot of success in Baltimore. Leslie Frazier, who's head coach in Minnesota. You go to the offensive side, there were Pat Shurmur, who's a head coach in
Brad
Cleveland
Childress.
Right now.
Yeah.
Brad Childress, the offensive coordinator in Cleveland, who was the head coach in Minnesota for years. So his supporting coaching staff, he had a collection of experienced minds at the NFL level that rivaled any other coaching staff other than maybe New England's in the entire NFL. And that was a big part of the success that we had, the game plans we put together. Then you move to the players, just the players.
Well, what's more important, talent in the NFL or coaching in the NFL?
Talent. Talent is definitely more important, but coaching is important, putting us in the right position. Just think about when Andy took over in 99, I was a part of the 3-13 team with Ray Rhodes. We kept a lot of those players on the defensive side of the ball. The talent was there, but we needed Jim Johnson to bring out the best in us. So you can't minimize the impact that coaches have, but ultimately it boils down to the players and the players getting it done. And that's also a big difference I see here, Dave, is that we had players that were here from the beginning and was a part of Andy's foundation, and we grew as a team. We grew as an organization from 3-13 to 5-11 to 5 consecutive playoff appearances, 4 NFC championship games. We grew. We tasted.
Those were the days.
We tasted adversity back then.
Yeah.
So we knew what victory felt like, as well as defeat, more importantly. And I think with these guys, it's not that the talent isn't there. I think there's talented players there. I'm just not sure it's a unit. It's a team. And you're fighting for the one common goal. Super Bowl is all we thought about.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't about contracts. And I'm not saying this is a problem with these players.
I totally get it.
But football was the most important thing to us, and winning and finally getting to the Super Bowl is what we ate, we slept it, we drank it, we were here extra hours. It was the only thing that mattered to us, and a lot of it was because of where we began as a team, where we were the laughing stock of the league and where we had worked so far to get to, and we knew our job wasn't done, so we never lost focus on that.
The defense that makes this major change, and as a player, I wonder, you know, you go from Juan to Todd, everybody thinks, well, this is great. Clearly, this defense has not responded the way Todd would like. Why? He hasn't changed that much, at least to the naked eye.
I know, and it's baffling to me, too. I mean, when you look at the first four games of the season, they got out to a 3-1 start. The defense was the strength of the team, in my opinion. They played the most consistent week in and week out. You look at the quarterback ratings and completion percentages against this defense, the third downs, how they were able to get off field on third down, those things have changed. And I don't think it's been just because Juan's not here anymore and Todd Bowles is the coach. I think a lot of it has to do with the positive reinforcement on the field of play. Teams have made plays against this defense the last three or four games. And as opposed to stepping up and remedying the problem, it seems as if they've lost confidence in their abilities out there when teams have made plays. This is the NFL, guys. Calvin Johnson's going to make plays.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Roethlisberger is going to make plays against you, and you can't lose your confidence. And what it seems that I'm starting to see from the outside is that I don't see a collective unit playing together. They aren't playing sound, fundamental football, the tackling, the rallying to the football.
Yeah, there's no rallying. That bothers me a lot. That speaks to me of just not playing as a team, not being urgent about the game, and not just wanting it enough.
Yeah, and that's what it boils down to on the defensive side of the ball. That's the great thing about defense. I didn't have a whole lot of talent, but I knew I was going to give you maximum effort, and I didn't think anybody on the field was going to be tougher than I was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the great thing about defense, and you have to have both of those. And I'm just not seeing, at times, the effort being put forth to prevent big plays. You may give up a 5-yard game, but it shouldn't turn into a 25 or a 35-yard game. And if you have guys running to the football, those plays don't happen. You don't have big plays.
Is a lot of new players on this team, a lot of roster turnover. Is Philadelphia maybe culture shock for some of these players? Is it tough to play in Philadelphia? Buy that?
It is tough to play in this town. This is a very demanding town, but I like it. It should be that way. It should matter to your fan base. I wouldn't want to play in a city where it doesn't matter to the fans if we win or lose. I want them to be upset. You know, players like that should thrive in sort of that environment because, you know what, as passionate as this fan base is and as demanding as they can be at times, they shouldn't want it more than you want it as the player.
Yeah.
They, you know, so it should be expected expectation. It shouldn't make you wilt, or you shouldn't get offended by it or frustrated by it. You should say, you know what, they want the same things that we want, and I'm going to work my butt off to give it to them.
I wonder if that's how they feel. I don't know. It certainly seems like players are spending a lot of time thinking about, talking about, tweeting about the fans.
Yeah,
which I don't like.
That's the other thing that is the biggest surprise to me with this team, with today's players in general. I don't recall during the time I played here, and we had rough times, I don't recall any of our players going back and forth with the fans, trying to justify your play, trying to justify why things aren't going well, calling fans out on being loyal and things of that nature. We didn't have we didn't worry about that type of stuff. We heard it, and yeah, it motivated you, but it didn't cause any of our players to want to attack the fans and go at them. And I think today's players, not just here, just around the league, period, because of social media, spend too much time worrying about criticism from the fans and the media. Guess what?
Well,
you can change it.
Players are
you
building,
have the ability to change it.
Players are building their brand.
There was
no brand back when you played necessarily. It was your performance. If you wanted a new contract, you earned it by your play.
Earned it on the field.
You know, you weren't selling T-shirts and this and that and all that. Not that that's wrong, but it's just something else to manage in your professional
career.
It's
another distraction away from what your number one priority should be.
Yeah.
Should be.
Okay.
And guess what? This is a very small period in your lifetime. Better make the most of it.
Mm-hmm.
Better make the most of it because it doesn't last forever.
Ike, make or break game for the Eagles?
Yes. Yes. And I know last week a lot of us said that as well. And 3-5 is an ugly looking record. But I know with the way the schedule sets up for these guys the rest of the way, if they can get a win Sunday and get some positive momentum going, you can easily run all 3, 4, 5 games with the schedule that's in front of you. And it's the NFL. Nothing's guaranteed. Anything can happen.
Yeah, and I look at that schedule. There's nothing on that schedule no one the Eagles cannot beat, right? I mean, if you were to be a dreamer and an optimist, as we are, you can go and take the, you know, take all 8 of those teams.
All 8 of those games they could easily – I could see them winning.
Yeah.
We own the Giants.
How about we just get one win Sunday against the Dallas? Was Dallas a special game for you?
Yes, of course. It's the Cowboys. It's that nonsense about America's team.
Which is a joke.
And when I came in, the triplets were at the end of an era, but it still felt great to have the opportunity to put a hit on Emmitt or Michael Irvin or Troy Aikman or beat those guys. First victory for Andy of his career. It was against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep.
And we ran off about 9 of 10, 12 of 14.
That's
against
the kind
that
of run
team.
This team needs right now.
And it
now.
Felt good kicking the Cowboys around.
Were you on the field when did Michael Irvin get hurt?
That was the game.
Were you? So wait, I'm sure you've talked about this 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear people cheer?
Yes.
Okay. Can I tell you that I stood up and cheered, like, from the press box? Only for a second, though. Only for a second, though. Only because I didn't know how hurt he was.
Yes.
And I've since met Michael, and I like Michael a lot. He's a good, you know, he's a very inspiring guy. Yeah. He's, you know, he's made and a lot of it. But I mean, of course I want the Cowboys to.
Of course. And you're a true Philadelphian.
I know that. I admit it. I'm not
we know that. We remember the new stadium opening. And I love you for it. You're a true Philadelphian.
Oh, come on, man.
It's okay.
But the Cowboys, I mean, I just don't know if these players these days really consider the Cowboys to be anything other than just another team. That goes back to you talking about how you grew up as a team with the Eagles, became, you know, you started to understand the culture of being an Eagle.
Yeah.
I think when you turn the roster around so much, it's difficult to do in today's game.
Yeah, and playing in this division and beating teams in this division, it means something.
Yeah,
it just does. It means something, and Andy has always stressed that from his first day here.
Yeah,
win the NFC East.
You feeling for Andy?
Oh yeah, you know I am. Yeah. You know I am. I feel for the big fella. I really do, because I know how much he cares, and as much as he's meant to this organization, this city, as the all-time winningest coach in franchise history, we all want to see him ride off into the sunset with that Lombardi Trophy on his shoulders. Not the way things are going right now. So he deserves one. I know he wants one for this city. I want to see him win one here. And it's tough watching what we've watched the last two years.
Well, let's hope it starts to turn around on Sunday. Ike Reese, thanks for joining me, man.
No problem.
Keep up the great work. The great Ike Reese joins us in studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.